Welcome back to the Free Kit Martin podcast. It's Crystal McKenzie, and today we're without Stacey Stone. She had an engagement to go to, so I decided to bring on the man. Emilio Corsetti is with us. He just wrote the book, I Will Ruin You, The Twisted Truth Behind the Kit Martin Murder Trials. The book is out now, and oh my gosh, Emilio, I'm so excited. Tell me, is it selling well for you?
The book is doing phenomenal, I will say that. It's been a number one new Kindle release since its release, actually.
You couldn't ask for more. So number one on Amazon Kindle, that's where I've been reading it. I did the pre-order like you told us to do so that we could write the reviews. We were all like, why are they giving this book away for $2.99? And it was just so they could get those reviews. It was a very smart move on the part of Wild Blue Press.
Yeah, when I first saw that, I called up and started complaining about it.
God bless them.
What are you guys doing selling this book for $3? I said, that's something you do after the book has been out for a year. You
know? Right, right.
Then they explained to me, calm down. You know, exactly. This is why we do this.
It's a great reason. We already read a whole bunch of those. It's very exciting to see all the positive reviews. I've not seen one negative review. So.
Oh, yeah. When this bombshell evidence hit, I started getting some one-star reviews from people saying that there's new evidence out there proving he's guilty. You need to check it out. That's another reason why I felt compelled to say something, right?
Right.
I mean, I can't just sit on the sidelines and let Detective Scott Smith go out there and spread all these false claims and then me not respond.
That's exactly right. So let's go back. Let's just go back a little bit for those of you just joining us. And if you've never listened to this program before, we do the Free Kit Martin podcast. This is an advocacy group. It is all about setting that man free because according to the evidence in the Kit Martin trial that was given there at trial is what Emilio took and wrote this book, I Will Ruin You, The Twisted Truth Behind the Kit Martin Murder Trial. So you took the actual evidence they presented, right, and told the story.
Yes, but I had a wealth of documented source information provided to me by Kit and Michael Kanzaki. And not only did I have a wealth of material to draw from, but it was all digitized. Everything was digitized. And he sent it to me on a USB drive. Yeah. I didn't have to sort through documents. The last book I wrote, it was also had some legal stuff in it, a lot of depositions and transcripts. And I went down to interview the captain in Las Vegas. And at that time, I wasn't quite sure I was going to still write this book. And when I got back from Vegas, like 2 days later, he sent me 5 cartons of documents.
Wow.
And it took me a solid year to go through those documents. But the fact that these guys had digitized it really made it easier for me.
No question about it. Plus, and then what you did is just took it all into consideration and wrote the story. And it's so brilliantly done. And also what it does, and I think that's what makes it a game changer, it simplifies the story. You have to go back to the beginning. You have to go what? Before the court martial is where your book begins.
It's definitely a complex story if you just get bits and pieces of it. Right?
Right, right.
So you have to piece it together from how this whole thing started and then how each thing progressed, each event progressed, each accusation, false accusation, how it led to something else, and then eventually, of course, this murder and the murder trial.
Right. And if my partner in crime were here right now, she'd be going on and on and on about everything we just talked about. Let me tell you, Stacey is one of the reasons that you listen to this podcast, and we understand that. She is the mother of 3 of Kit Martin's children, and there is nothing in this for her. That's what makes it so brilliant to me. When somebody like her comes to me, it was my American duty to come and help her be the voice for the voiceless, and that's what we've been trying to do. Then Emilio comes along, and honestly, we've called you an angel all the way through this. It's just an angel in disguise. You came in and you are a man that writes about wrongful convictions and you are a pilot yourself. And then the way that this was just kind of simplified, just brilliant. Thank you again. But I want to get to this bombshell evidence because recently we've had a local situation kind of start a little bit of a fire around the Kit Martin story. And I want you to set us all straight right now. Would you?
Yeah. So Let's start by how I learned of this. All right.
Perfect.
I have set up Google alerts for all of the key players in this story. Right. So if anything appears on the internet about any of these key players, I automatically get an alert. Hey, somebody just said this.
Right.
And I can go right to the, it links me right to the source. Right. But this particular bombshell evidence that first came out was a video, all right, on the local news station, all right? So the Google alerts wouldn't alert me to that, to this video. That's because it's not how it works. But the other thing that I do is I monitor social media of some of these same key players, right? And I actually learned about the video on the page that Matt and Diana set up for Cal and Pam.
Oh, so the family of the Phillips page on Facebook. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
That's, they put it up there. Apparently, they're aware that the book is out now. I'm sure they're aware of it. And they put the video up with a post saying, okay, the jury got it right. Here's the evidence. And, you know, they found this murder weapon. And
right.
So that's the first time I became aware of this video.
Oh, my goodness.
So as I watched the video, all right, there was so much that jumped out at me right off the bat. All right. First of all, there was a ton of factual information that they got wrong. It was just completely wrong. Let's just talk about some of the things that were said that just jump out, that don't make any sense at all. All right. When I post something on the internet, all right, I have the ability to go back and edit it. All right. So like if I'm doing an interview and you ask me a question, all right, and then that response gets put out on the internet or social media or whatever, I may look at that and say, shoot, I wish I would have said this. I wish I would have mentioned this, right? Well, because it's my website and I have the ability to go back and edit it, right? I can change it. I can
beautiful.
Add things
yeah.
or take things away, right?
By the way,
for
the
example,
website is emiliocorsetti.com if you want to check it out.
So when I first decided that how I was going to respond, I knew I was going to respond. And I had all these voices telling me, don't say anything, don't respond. You know, we got this. And I'm thinking, nah, my reputation is on the line.
Yeah.
I'm going to respond.
All of
right?
us, for that matter.
So, yeah. So I had to figure out a way that I could respond without giving away important details that could be used later.
So Kit goes through this whole process to hide this rifle.
This whole idea that he's going to go through all this effort to hide this rifle that Scott Smith is saying was used as in the murder. So Scott Smith is on TV talking to this local news reporter, and he's telling them how they discovered this rifle inside a stairwell, and there was all this deceit and deception trying to go on to conceal this weapon. Implying that he went through a lot, or Kit went through a lot of effort to conceal this weapon, all right?
Right.
But if you look at it just from a logical standpoint, why would you go through all this effort to conceal a murder weapon when there was another murder weapon, supposedly a Glock 45, that he put in his gun safe, right? I mean, that jumped out at me right away. The other thing that jumped out at me right away was the fact that now he's saying, well, we think this was the murder weapon. And I'm thinking, okay, so does that mean that the trial, when you said that you that it was one of these three guns that you guys screwed up then, that you told the jury false information? So which is it? Is it what you convicted the guy on at the trial? Or is it what you're saying now, 2 years after the trial, when a book's come out that's questioning your integrity in your investigation?
Oh, the timing is just incredible of all this. It really
right.
and truly is, Emilio.
The timing, exactly, right. Let me talk about the timing. So, according to Detective Scott Smith, he's coming out with this information now because Kit has expired all his appeals, and now he's coming out to make this information public. All right. Well, that's complete nonsense, and here's why it's nonsense, right? The appeals were over in October of 23, right? So if his excuse for waiting to when this book comes out to release this information is because the appeals have expired, well, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
They expired in October.
Yeah, right? So why not come out then?
Mm-hmm. Right? So here's the real deal about this whole gun fiasco. Before the book was published, I'd been trying to contact Scott Smith and Scott Noiseworthy. All right. I went through the proper channels, right? I had their personal contact information. I could have called them up and talked to them directly.
Did you talk to them?
Well, let me explain.
Okay. So, I'm dying to know.
Trust me, I was tempted to just, I had Barbara Whaley's contact information, right? But I didn't go through, I didn't call her up on the phone and say, hey, would you talk to me? Right? I went through the Attorney General's office.
Okay.
In their public relations. And I said, I'd like to set up an interview with these people. Of course, they never responded.
Of course
right?
not.
And the same thing with Scott Smith and Noiseworthy. I wanted to speak to them. I wanted to give them an opportunity to tell their side of the story, right? And I went through the proper channels. They have a communications director at the sheriff's office,
mm-hmm.
right? Communications officer. So I contacted him. I contacted him like probably two or three times. I'd like to set up an interview. Well, we can't talk because the appeals are still going. Okay. So then the appeals are done, denied. And I call back again. I say, look, I'm like a couple of weeks away from handing this book into the publisher. This is your last opportunity to speak, to have these guys speak with me. And he goes, well, he says, let me, I'll get right back to you. So within an hour or so, Scott Smith calls.
Oh my, to have all him right? on the other end of the telephone. My dream. Right,
so,
right there.
So Scott Smith is on the other end of the phone. And he first thing he tells me, you know, I'm aware of this book. I know all about it. I know that you're writing a biased book and that you gave it to Kit Martin to edit. Right?
Wow.
So I did give the manuscript to Kit to review, right?
Yeah.
And I did it on my two previous books as well with the main people that were involved.
Absolutely.
And I don't do that so they can edit the book. I do that so they can correct any errors, factual errors that are in the book.
Right. These are life stories. These are real people's lives.
So, you know, Scott Smith is, well, you're giving a biased presentation. I say, look, Scott, if you think it's biased, I said, I kind of flattered him. I said, you know more about this case than anyone, right? And I'd like to give you an opportunity to sit down and talk. So then he says, well, I'll tell you what, give me to the end of this week and I'll let you know.
All right.
So I said, okay, fine. I said, even if I had to delay sending it to the publisher, because I had a deadline, right?
Sure.
If I needed to delay that deadline for a couple of weeks, I was good with that. I wanted to give the guy an opportunity.
Absolutely. Right? It would have been good to hear from him. Yeah.
So, right. So 5 days go by. The end of the week comes. No word from Scott Smith. Right. And like a week later, I get this news from Stacy, who's hysterical because Scott Smith is terrorizing the family in North Carolina about this gun.
Right? Uh-huh.
This is like back in October of 23, he had this gun.
That's right.
Do you think that if they had any kind of ballistics evidence at all, that they would wait and not present that as solid evidence that this ties this gun to this murder?
Of course not. And even more suspicious, the timing, it was 2 days that he went to North Carolina there to get that. That was 2 days after Stacey was on Court TV. So do you remember that? That was on Halloween Day.
All of that was at the same time.
So it was the Supreme Court decision on the 23rd, Halloween Day. And then by the 3rd of November, there he was in North Carolina.
Yeah, so going back to when I first saw the video.
Right.
And how it was portrayed. I mean, so before the episode even came on the local news network, the two anchors, we've got new bombshell evidence. You know, our local reporters covered this in the past, and now he's bringing you some new information directly from the lead detective in the case. So, you know, I'm thinking, wow, you know, this might not be good. You know, let's see what he has to say.
Precisely.
Right? So I'm watching it, and as I'm watching it, I'm thinking, well, there's a lot of this that doesn't look good. I showed it to my wife, and my wife said, this doesn't look good.
Mm-mm.
All right. So I knew there was a problem. All right. And it took me a little bit of time, but there were two things. There was a couple steps I had to take before I responded. One, I needed some details. I needed some facts. I needed some backstory.
Sure.
Right? The news reporter who covered this story wrote up a follow-up article online where he gave Smith another platform to talk about how the family wasn't cooperating. And well, let me tell you something. If the detective who put an innocent person in prison for life is coming to talk to me to get more information to justify what he'd done,
mm-hmm.
I'd tell him to piss off too.
Right. And that's what Emma did in so many words. And I'm sure a couple F-bombs were used in there. That little young lady minced no words and told him to get the, you know what, out of her state and never come back. So, yeah, I was very proud of Emma for that. You know, I tell you what, that had to be so hard on everyone concerned.
Exactly.
And then they come through with this follow-through story, and that was just a great big slap in the face to the Martin family, who is such a beautiful family.
Well, here's the whole problem with the way this whole thing went down. So Smith comes back, you know, and he's got this bombshell evidence, which isn't evidence at all, because they asked him, do you think this was the murder? I do. I think this was the murder weapon, was his reply.
Okay.
So what evidence do you have it was the murder weapon?
Those are big words.
Yeah, I just think it is, you know? So let's think about this logically, right? So let's say that Kit is going over there. Of course, Barbara really said that he went over there to set the house on fire because it hadn't burned down the first time, all right? So according to Barbara Whaley, by setting a fire on a dirt basement floor, that's going to burn the house down, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So then he's going to go back to burn the house down again, but he decides to take a gun with him to do it, which doesn't make any sense. And here's the other thing. Kit Martin had more guns in his home than anybody that I know.
Yeah.
I don't know how many. I didn't count them, but it could have been as many as 30 weapons
right.
in that house.
Right. He's right? just a gun enthusiast. I mean,
he's a gun enthusiast, right?
Serious gun enthusiast.
And of all of those 30 guns and all the pistols that he has, he's going to choose a rifle with an AR-15 style magazine to go across the street.
Right.
To shoot somebody.
It just makes zero sense.
If you just sit down and you look at the facts of what was said, what was accused, what was claimed, it doesn't make any sense at all.
They're trying so hard to turn him into Rambo with all this military precision and everything that was argued in that trial is just hogwash.
Yeah. So the other thing is, you know, I had to hold back on some of the information. And I told you I had edited it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I knew I was going to end up editing it. And when I originally, did you read the part about the silencer?
Well, of course, yeah. And of course,
when I originally wrote it and posted it, I was waiting to hear back from Kit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I had an idea what it was all about, but he wrote me back and he explained to me that the whole thing with the silencer was because of target shooting.
Of course. Right? Of course it is, especially outdoor. You know, when you're in a range,
exactly.
Right, if you're inside of a range, you've got your headphones and they supply the equipment for you. But yeah, you're out in the great outdoors and silencers really help if you're just going to do target practice. you know, in somebody's backyard.
See, that's another thing about the story. And it's the way that Detective Scott Smith conducted the entire investigation, right? Everything about this investigation was based on what Scott Smith thought, all right? I mean, it's ridiculous. Like, for example, the doorstop on the door. Barbara Whalen made a big deal about it. He had a doorstop to keep people from coming in. Not only did he have a doorstop, but he had extra locks on the door. Well, if they would have simply went to Kit and say, what was the deal with the doorstop? He would have told them, the door was warped. I was trying to keep the door into the door frame.
Yeah.
I had a doorstop. I had extra locks. I even nailed the door to the top of the frame.
Unbelievable.
But they didn't do that.
And is the great protector in that sense. So yeah.
The point is, their entire investigation, I mean, I don't know many murder investigations where you have all these questions, and rather than ask the source that you're targeting to explain this stuff, you just make your own decision on what it means, and then you present that to a jury.
Oh, gosh, this book is so good. Again, go pick it up. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have not read it yet, it's I Will Ruin You, The Twisted Truth Behind the Kit Martin Murder Trial. And we are talking with author right now, Emilio Corsetti, who wrote that book. And really and truly, we could not have had a better author step forward in this particular project. It's such a convoluted story. We thank you for simplifying it for us.
You know, talking about that, when I first decided I was going to write this book, all right, the first step in that is to go directly to the source, which is Kit, right?
Sure.
And I'm thinking, there is no chance in hell that some big name author hasn't already clued into this story. So I figured, well, I even put off it a couple of days. I'm thinking, man, somebody's got to be on top of this. I mean, it's so obvious what happened, right?
Oh, sure.
So when I contacted him, he said, no, nobody's contacted me about a book. I was amazed at that.
I know. I remember that when you first came forward, and we were all reluctant, anybody in the advocacy part of the Kit Martin movement, we'll just call it the movement, we were all looking at it like, okay, who's this Emilio Corsetti? But the minute we found out you were a pilot and that you write about wrongful convictions, all eyes were open. We were all ears as to what you had to say. You did this book in such beautiful order. Again, you have to go before the court-martial. And once you go before the court-martial, back in 2012, then that's when this story starts unfolding. And Emilio lays that out really nicely in I Will Ruin You. Gosh, it's a great book.
Thank you.
Highly recommending it. Let's just say, are you getting interview requests and that kind of thing yet? I mean, like from court TVs of the world and CNNs and those kind of big ones.
Okay, so it's coming.
Yeah.
All right. So I've already been interviewed for one documentary.
Great. Right? That's exciting.
There's another. That's for a one-hour documentary in the fall. There's another company that's wanting to do a two-hour story on it for the, what is it, CD Network? CW Network.
Right. Fantastic. Right? A great and, true crime network. Yeah.
There's a company in Canada,
yeah,
who's reading the book right now for possible film rights about telling the story.
Oh, right? I just got chills all over my body.
And so the story is going to get out there.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be, you know, the book will come and ebb and flow, right? The sales will come. It'll drop off for a while. Then it'll pick up when some other story hits, which reminds me, in that post that I wrote, you know, I have to be careful about what I say and how far I go. Right?
I know but where I, you're
I
going with this.
I wanted to say something about encouraging Scott Smith to do more interviews. Right?
Yeah.
You know, maybe he could go on local TV and say he talked to a psychic, and now he's got new information from a psychic.
I love you so much, Emilio. It's perfect.
that would really pop up my sales. You know.
So that is what Emilio said. I tell you what, Emilio's post is so good. I want you just to go see it there at emiliocorsetti.com. It's one of the first that you'll see, one of the last posts that he's done, just the most recent. And it's also up on the Free Kit Martin podcast page. And if you want to join us and help us talk about this case, by the way, there is a Free Kit Martin page out there. There is also a Kit's Warrior page out there. And it really is a narrative. And what we had to do today, Emilio, is kind of change the narrative, because that gun is a completely ridiculous piece of evidence. And to call it the murder weapon, sorry.
Yeah, and Pam, of course, was killed in the kitchen. I mean, I just can't even picture somebody with a rifle and a 22 caliber magazine shooting somebody in a kitchen with that type of weapon.
Right.
And when you got like 15 pistols back home.
Right.
Know?
Right.
And then trying to get across the street, trying to get across Main Street at 5:30 in the afternoon.
And think about Marlene LaRocque's statement about what she heard out of Pam. And it was just sort of a startled, almost like you saw a mouse kind of, you know, if you saw a rifle like that, you'd go, oh my God, your reaction would be, you know, Rambo's here. She would say, Kit's in front of me. She would say something like that, you know?
Well, you know, I wrote about this whole timing thing, right, in the post. But the timing, the problem with their timing applies to the entire murder, right? So here's what you have to remember, okay? They're accusing him of going across the street to set the house on fire, for whatever reason he went across
with
the street.
With t-shirts in the basement, closed basement. Yeah.
But so, and like I said in the post, at 5 p.m., everybody's home in the house. At 5:23 p.m., Emma and Austin leave to go to their group dinner.
Right.
Laura and Kit are home alone in the house celebrating their anniversary. It's 5:23 p.m., they have the house to themselves for 2 hours, maybe.
Right.
At most, right?
We know what was happening there.
Yeah. You know, they asked Laura on the stand, you know, well, what were you doing after the kids left, you know? And she's kind of shy. She's, well, you know, we watched TV and we spent some time on the couch. And then he goes, anything else? Or I think Olivia was doing the question. Anything else? Well, we had some special time. Well,
yeah.
Guess what? I don't think the special time was going across the street and killing two people.
No.
And there was no time to do it.
With that rifle. With the rifle they just put on TV.
Especially with the rifle.
Oh, my
God. But at 5:23 p.m., when the kids left, that only gives Kit 7 minutes to go across the street because Pam is already pulling into the driveway at that time.
Right.
So it just doesn't make any sense.
Zero.
But yet they got a murder conviction and a life sentence based on that type of evidence.
Three life sentences, and it's not over till it's over. And I don't know if you hear a little sing-songy in my voice, but hey, there's nothing wrong here in the Free Kit Martin movement. Everything's going just fine. Emilio's book sales skyrocketing right now, and even more so after the local story. So thank you, Scott Smith.
Yes.
You know, our hat's off to you. You're doing all the right things to help us get there. But we really appreciate you, Emilio. I just want to thank you once again. I Will Ruin You, The Twisted Truth Behind the Kit Martin Murder Trial. What you want to do is head over to Amazon right now and order it. Get it. My sister keeps asking me for my copy. I'm like, no. I mean, this is a movement. Go buy a copy of this. I think it's $13 for the paperback, am I right? And something like $25 for the hardback. Am I anywhere close? Something
close
like that.
That.
Yeah. So get out, get yourself, do yourself a favor. You know, one of the, I don't know if you've read, and I don't have any reviews pulled up here, but one of the reviews I read, she said this should be required reading for every lawyer, judge, prosecutor, defense attorney. That's what she said. Oh. She said it should be required reading. And I happen to agree with that.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that.
Go
review.
To Amazon and read your own reviews.
Yeah,
they're incredible. We read them on the last episode too. So go listen to the last episode. Hey, thank you again, Emilio. Much appreciated.